Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, this is Healthy Gut Girl with Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, coming to you from deep inside your small intestine. Why am I deep inside your small intestine? I'm glad you asked. Well, this is the place from which I teach everyone to get healthy, because it all begins in the gut. And that's why I'm Healthy Gut Girl. This is a mind-blowing podcast of new health and nutrition research that will make you say, you know, this is stuff my doctor should know, darn it. I'm Catalina Martone, and this is my partner in crime, creative producer, tech man, director, and sidekick, Mark Labaticus.
Hello.
Oh, are you awake?
I'm here. I'm wide awake, ready to raring to go and feast on this new information you're about to give me and us.
How are your bacteria? How are they feeling today?
I think they need to be replenished. I need to get some good, healthy bacteria in my body.
Well, we, after our last podcast, which was about how to stop sugar cravings, we thought, you know what? There's a lot of information that still needs to be talked about. So we're actually going to talk more about cultured foods and fermented foods and the fact that, well, you know, first of all, let me start with this fact. Did you know that we are more bacteria than we are human, Mark? We're more bacteria than we are human cells. It's true. And basically, all inside of us, all outside of us, it's like a suit of armor that we wear, and all inside of us just covered with bacteria.
So people say bacteria, oh, bad bacteria. You don't want bacteria. Mm-hmm. Like it's what causes illnesses.
It's like dirty. Fat. Remember everyone used to say, don't eat fat. Don't eat fat's bad. And now we've all realized that the earth is round.
And there's diets based in fat.
Mm-hmm. I eat a lot of fat. So basically, yeah, we're more bacteria than we are human. And so it's really important for us to know how to nurture, help those bacteria thrive, because you're their host. So you have to give them what they need.
And you have to get more bacteria from food?
You can get bacteria just from breathing, but there's special bacteria that we need that have been with us since we were born, or supposed to have been with us since we were born. Families, generations and generations of bacteria.
Well, hold on. Before you go, you used to tell me that like when a baby is born, it's like its gut is like really healthy. What was that? Can you explain that to me again?
Well, okay. So let's start from the beginning.
That's the beginning.
So when a child, an infant is born, it has a sterile gut. It doesn't have any bacteria in it at all. And as it makes its way through the birth canal out into the world, it acquires all of this bacteria from its mother's vagina and from the outside world. Yeah. It gets in their ears and their mouth and their nose and their eyes and their crevices. And when the baby comes out, the baby's put on mommy's breast, and that first bit of milk, which is called colostrum, which is very high in, guess what? Sugar and fat.
Oh, really?
And this is the food, not like, you know, refined sugar, but in long chain healthy sugars that the bacteria thrive on, and they proliferate. And by the time that baby is 3 months old, they have their very own ecology. They have their very own microbiome, all their own bacteria load on their outside and their inside. And if mom is healthy and baby acquired a healthy bacteria load from mom, then the baby will also have a healthy gut. And if the baby's breastfed, even more so. That baby will do you know they did this test where they took breast milk, samples of breast milk from birth till when the baby was 2 years old, breast milk from the mom. Samples throughout every month of that 2 years. And every single sample had different quality and ratio of nutrients, different quality and ratio of macronutrients, of fats to, you know, carbs to protein, everything. And it's because at every stage in that baby's life, that baby needs different qualities and types of nutrients. So anyway, the problem today is that a lot of babies are being born through C-section. So the baby doesn't get to come through this fantastic canal filled with friendly bacteria for the baby. Instead, it gets pulled out of this sterile cut in mom and then wrapped up and swaddled immediately and not even breastfed immediately. Now it's starting to change and it's starting to be different. But, and so the baby doesn't even acquire the bacteria that the baby needs. And then in comes all of the, you know, waterfall of drugs, of different
the barrage,
vaccinations.
That the baby's body can't handle. And
yeah, some babies handle it, yeah. But it's no doubt an assault, but we won't go down that road right now. But so, you know, babies are being given the hepatitis vaccine for a baby that, you know, Hep B is, you acquire that through intravenous drug use or through sexual contact. And they're giving it to newborns.
Crazy. So,
but anyway.
Yeah, we went off the point. I just wanted to hear that story. I love to hear that.
Yeah, well, it's not over yet because when the baby also gets pushed through the canal, you know, it gets squeezed so, constricted so much to the point that the plates in the head even, you know,
right.
Cross over.
They look like an alien coming
right.
out, yes.
And then as the baby comes out, it gets like this, it all of a sudden it expands really quickly. And that expansion and contraction, or contraction and expansion, starts the baby's cerebral spinal fluid pumping all on its own. It's like a kickstart. So that's the other thing that doesn't happen when a baby is born through C-section, is they don't get that initial kickstart of life to work on its own.
So tip of the day, avoid C-section.
Well, if you can.
You can, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I see, you know, having a baby these days is a liability for doctors, and that's how they see it. So the quickest, easiest way to get that thing out and get the person out of their office and out of the hospital is best.
So I have a question for you. Since we talked about this, what are cultured foods?
Okay. Well, so going back to what we just said, so when you are healthy, let's say everything was right, you were born the way you were meant to be born. You were breastfed the way you were meant to be breastfed. You didn't start solid food or people food until you were already past 1 year old, and everything is going well. Maybe you weren't taken to the doctor for your first ear infection and put on antibiotics. None of that stuff happened. So none of all your bacteria are intact. Then you would, and let's say it's also before the Industrial Revolution when people lived on farms, you would acquire more bacteria from vegetables out of the ground because our soil had a really high content of beneficial bacteria. And they also cultured foods then and fermented foods then because they didn't have, refrigeration was, you know, a luxury if at all. And prior to that, of course, there was no electricity. So they had no choice but to cure, ferment, and culture things. And that meant it's a form of preservation, right? And what they didn't realize then, or maybe they did realize, who's to say, that they didn't realize that in the fermentation process, breaks down the sugars in the product and the bacteria eat all those sugars. And then the bacteria end up creating more nutrition in that product.
So that's the simple fact of taking vegetables, putting it in a jar, adding a little water.
Right, like sauerkraut.
And that's it.
Like,
and it just ferments on its own.
Right. Or taking kefir grains and making dairy kefir or water kefir. And again, it breaks down. As the product begins to decompose, the bacteria in it start to eat all the sugar out of it.
Oh,
that's
wow.
How come things like wine and beer and vinegar and cultured sauerkraut, why they're sour, is because there is no more sugar in the product because
right.
the bacteria have eaten it. So, and then the process of them eating that broken down matter, it's almost like they pre-digest the product for you, and then it's almost 100 times more nutritious. So a cabbage just sitting on the plate is 100 times less nutritious than a cabbage that has been cultured or fermented. Now, what's the difference between cultured and fermented? Do you remember?
Yes.
Don't cultured, let me down.
Cultured is when you add a grain to
Yay!
It. Yes, is when you add, and fermented is when it just on its own.
Right, because
Very
a lot
basic.
Of products, a lot of foods have existing bacteria on them, like a cabbage naturally has Plantarum and has other sorts of bacteria already present on the product. So when you ferment, when you chop it up and stick it in a jar with water, it's going to ferment anyway. Those bacteria will ferment anyway, just as you just said. When you culture it, you add more bacteria to it. And the reason we do this and the reason I like to do this is because what's the point of eating those foods anyway? It's to get more bacteria in the gut.
And this is a complete mind shift from what we're being taught and trained, because most of our food supply, if not all of it, especially in you know, corporate agricultural world, their whole mission is to destroy all bacteria. And
because it's a liability.
Because it's a liability. Because people who don't have, say for instance, you know, you're weaned on this food that has no bacteria, nothing, and you know, you don't have much of a gut ecology.
Gut.
And then all of a sudden you're eating this food that has some good bacteria, you might not feel well right away, right? And so then they think, well, you've been poisoned, so now we gotta...
Right. Yeah, that happens a lot, especially when you do a program like a diet where you are trying to support your gut ecology. You will have reactions to it at first, for sure. But you know, you made me think of something. You know what MRSA is? It's like a super bug.
Okay.
And people get it in hospitals a lot, especially the elderly and children, infants. Well, MRSA was born in a hospital. MRSA are the initials for it. The acronym. Is that right? Acronym? Anyway, and the reason that it was born in a hospital, and a lot of these superbugs get born in a hospital, is because they have, the hospital's so sterile, right? So if you, let's hypothetically say, you go into a hospital.
Staph bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you go into a hospital, and it's perfectly pristine and clean in there, and they're using antibacterial soaps and whatever. And this person has MRSA. Let's just say they have staph. It's not MRSA yet. It's just staph. And they have a cut on their leg and it's infected and they have staph. And they go into the hospital and the doctor cleans it up and works on it, maybe stitches it, whatever. And then cotton balls fall on the floor with this, you know, bacteria on it. And the patient leaves and then they clean up. And then the next patient is wheeled into this room and it's an old woman that has pneumonia or has a lung infection. Well, if you were to have some like if you had some special glasses that could make you see microscopically, like you could look around and see all the trillions of bacteria crawling all over everything, that's what you would see, right? Everything, this bottle, this computer, everything. You'd see trillions of little buggies.
It's like the hospital is like the least healthy place to be.
Well, but in the hospital, you wouldn't see anything. You'd see carnage of dead creatures and bacteria because they always sterilize everything.
Right.
So if this cotton ball with staph falls on the ground, where is the checks and balances there?
What's going to keep the planet Earth episode with the cordyceps?
What's going to keep that staph from growing? There is no beneficial bacteria in that hospital to be found because they've sterilized everything. So this bacteria, this staph, gets to feed on the dead carnage of the bacteria that they've killed.
Really?
And it grows and it grows and it grows, and there's nothing to keep it in check until it becomes MRSA.
Wow.
Superbug.
That is so uniquely amazing.
Isn't it? And it's impossible to kill these guys. So then you give an antibiotic, and this staph already knows the antibiotic because it was given the antibiotic with the original wound, the original person that had it, let's say. So it already has studied that antibiotic and knows it. By the time it's MRSA, it like laughs at that antibiotic. And now they have to redesign another antibiotic to kill this particular strain over and over and over. So I always say, when all of the antibiotics are no longer working, who's going to be left standing? It's going to be the people that never chose to do the antibiotics.
So it's humans' role in trying to eradicate one form of bacteria while not knowing that it's just bolstering another form that they...
Yeah. Not to say hospitals should be filthy places, but I just think that some biochemist genius has to come in there and figure out how to keep that checks and balances
like
in the
hospital. Like it's okay to have some bacteria in there.
I don't know how they would do that, but I'm sure someone out there is smart enough to figure it out. Because right now what they're doing is creating superbugs.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So I stay away from hospitals. I'm scared.
All right. So back to cultured.
Cultured veggies. So same thing, same concept. So, you know, people say, oh, shouldn't you sterilize your jars before you make them? And shouldn't you wear gloves and dee-dee-dee-dee-da? And no, you shouldn't. In fact, there is a study that came out of the University of Princeton.
Oh, the process by what you touching your food. And
yes.
In there.
And it was Bonnie Bassler she did a TED talk, and she's the head professor there of the microbiology department at, I think it's Princeton. And I love this because they basically discovered is that bacteria have boring lives. They start out at one little organism and then they hang out and they absorb information from around them and then they grow twice in size and then they split in half and then they do it again and again and again until they reach a certain colony size where they actually can begin to chemically speak to each other. And it's called quorum sensing, right? And all good bacteria and bad bacteria do this. And they're starting to think that everything does this. Every parasites, fungus, everything talks to each other in a chemical way, chemical language. So when this happens, you have to keep in mind, we are the host of these bacteria that have been around since the beginning of, honestly, they just found out. Since before Earth, like these things lived on another, like on asteroids.
They
and
came
stuff.
From other worlds. And
yeah.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. So that's a whole different subject for coast to coast actually. But, so what happens is, when you make these vegetables yourself, and you use your clean hands, not antibacterial soap clean
getting
hands.
Getting in there, touching them.
You touch them, you're breathing on them, you're in your home, your kids are helping you, maybe your dog has a lick, just kidding. And you start to infuse your bacteria with the bacteria that are present on the food. Then you put them into your jar and you let them sit on the shelf for 3 days to 30 days. They actually speak to each other. And your bacteria speak to their bacteria and they become a community and they decide and they strategize on how to thrive.
Do, 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 do,
yeah,
do, do, do.
Exactly. You want disclosure? Here it is.
That's interesting.
It's right here. Wow. So then when you eat those vegetables, they're customized to your needs.
That is great.
Yeah. And, you know,
there's a whole other world that exists beyond our perception view that's just happening.
Yep.
And affects us in so many different ways.
So,
so this is talking about when you're making your own, like you're when you're making fermented cultured veggies, either one, it's like you're chopping up all whatever it is, the cabbage and all the root vegetables, and you're really getting there with your hands and massaging it. And that, whether it's the bacteria or your intention, you know,
maybe, you could go that far as well.
Because, you know, I've always, I mean, anyone can agree when they have a home cooked meal from a loving mother. Don't you just know it tastes better? Whether it's the feeling associated with it, there's something that comes out of the, I hate to say the hairy, airy fairy stuff, but the vibrational element of the food. Like,
I don't think that's airy fairy. I think they're starting to even be able to prove that, the frequencies of things are much higher when there's care involved, when there's love involved.
And science says everything is quantum. It's all on the quantum level. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I am a firm believer in that. I don't think there's anything outrageous about that comment at all. So
that's amazing. So now when you're making your meal, folks, get in there with your hands, knead the dough, make that sandwich, cut your own vegetables.
I'm not encouraging you to be dirty. I'm just encouraging you to be naughty.
I guess that begs the question then, what about all the people that handled the vegetables before it came to you? I mean, I guess that's why you probably want it from an organic farm. People who really, that makes sense to have it from a farm that people want to
help. Well, listen, if you're not
help.
Buying organic, you better wash your veggies.
Well,
but I don't wash. I know this is going to come as a complete shock to people, but I don't wash my organic fruit and sometimes the veggies either, unless they've been in the dirt, like a potato or a carrot. But I won't, in fact, Donna talks about the biofilms that are on things like plums and grapes and tomatoes. they're kind of have that cloudy look, and you're like, hey, this is what's on my piece of fruit here. And it's like a cloudy whitish color. And she says that if it's an organic piece of fruit, that it's a biofilm created by beneficial bacteria. Huh. Biofilms are like the, what bacteria use to protect themselves. It's like a little coating that they use to protect themselves. And it's very difficult to penetrate those biofilms. And they come with the bad guys too. Parasites have biofilms, bad bacteria have biofilms, but the good ones do too. And Donna says, don't wash your organic fruit because there's a lot of good bacteria on there. And listen, I don't do it, and I don't get sick.
So stay away from genetically modified foods, because there's no way that has any healthy bacteria, because that's been designed to not, right, to avoid all that whole strain of bacteria.
I mean, you want to talk about sterile. Those things are completely sterile, you know.
They're nothing beneficial about it.
I mean, we can't even have that conversation because they have never agreed to do any kind of long-term studies. And I won't touch anything
we're about the organic.
Show me some science.
Yeah,
I want to see some science behind genetically modified foods.
There was an article just came out the other day that they're working on an apple that doesn't turn brown if you cut it in half. You know, a normal apple, when the air hits it, after a while, it starts to turn brown. Now they're making an apple where it won't turn brown. It'll just stay vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary to me. I don't.
It's just unnatural.
Yeah. Nature did it better than we can ever create.
It's kind of like plastic surgery.
I don't want Botox.
I don't like this wrinkle, so I'm going to cut it out of my face.
Oh, God. Please age gracefully. It looks so much better.
I don't know. I think it's a mental state of mind.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. So cultured and fermented veggies. So anyone can do this. This is easy to do, and you should make these vegetables and have it with almost like
you can have
meal.
Them every day. The coconut kefir you can have every day. You can have it all every day, but the coconut kefir tends to be easier. And you will get die-off from it if you've never had it. So when I have a funny story. I went with Donna Gates one day to watch her for the first time. I had never been to, I just met her, and I went to see her do a talk. And they had a meal. It was kind of a high-end group of people, and they made a meal for them. They made a salad and a main course and a dessert, and they had a glass of probiotic champagne. It was really fun. But there was all this food left over, and I was just sitting around kind of waiting my turn to kind of mingle with Donna, and I didn't have anything to do. So I sat there and started eating all the leftovers, and I must have had 3 bowls of cultured vegetables and like 4 glasses of the probiotic drink. And I felt great, right? I was like, oh my God, this food's amazing. I hadn't made veggies like that before. They were so good. So anyway, I leave, and the next morning, I'm TMI right here, but you know me. I was so constipated for 3 days.
I thought that's the opposite.
Well, I'll tell you why, but I was so constipated, and when it finally exited my body, it was like a
tsunami of.
No, it wasn't even, it was like a handbag. It was, I don't even know what it was. It was just this misshapen. I'm like, what is that? It was painful too, and it took me so long. I don't think it took 3 days.
That's the Vata body of yours.
Yeah. But so what happened is that I overdosed on fermented foods. What they do, and if you remember what we just said earlier, these bacteria are very interested in eating and very interested in creating an environment that's good for them to thrive and for their babies to thrive in their generation after generation. So they're very interested in cleaning you out and cleaning you up. So the minute you stick those things in your mouth, they start eating sugars and eating strange things. They start eating impacted fecal matter out of your colon, and they just start
eating. It's like a pool cleaner for your intestines. Goes
exactly.
in there and just starts getting in there.
Exactly, like scrubbing bubbles.
Scrubbing.
And they end up, you know, and so this waste. So these bacteria are organisms. They're going to eat, and guess what they're going to do after they eat? They're going to eliminate. So they're going to have waste.
Right.
And that waste needs to exit. And when you eat 5 bowls of cultured veggies, that's a lot of hungry bacteria that went in and serious, you know, work. And that's why it was a handbag.
So if you would have had like a steak beforehand and then ate the 5 bowls of cultured veggies, you might have noticed something tremendous. I would think, no?
No, no. not necessarily. I mean, they eat sugar. They eat broken down food that turns to sugar. So, you know,
okay,
meat is...
a teriyaki steak.
the sugar out of the teriyaki side. Well, everything breaks down to sugar. Everything does eventually, right? But that doesn't matter. I mean, if the more sugar content you have in the body, the more they're going to eat.
Right.
But I like to eat a lot of take the coconut kefir on an empty stomach, because then it's going to go to work on what's in there already, not what you've just eaten. Right. So that's one thing. If you happen to be, you know, have a big banana split or something, or a piece of cake, and it's late in the night, to drink half a glass of coconut kefir, so it'll eat all the sugar out of there, and it won't affect you the way it would had you not had this.
This is all such great information, and let's tell everyone that we're gonna put a couple of videos on your website.
There already are.
Teaching you how to make...
Well, what you could do also is you could go to bodyecology.com and you can actually join the fermentation course, which is me teaching how to make cultured
foods.
And
which is me that shot it and edited it and did the graphics, the music.
So, more of us. So, or you can go watch the video. There's a few cultured food videos on my website on healthygutgirl.com.
Yeah, but we'd rather you watch you, because you're so charismatic, and as my sister says, I just love watching her because she's just friendly and...
Oh, stop it. Just stop.
Makes me just want to make cultured veggies all day.
Tell me more about my eyes.
Speaking of which, I wish I had some right now, actually.
Cultured veggies?
Yes. I like the little snack we do with the little blue corn chips and the avocado. See, that stuff is great.
Like, you know what you can also do? You can use the coconut kefir with newborn infants that have colic.
Oh, that's so great.
It's a no-brainer. It's so...
It's colic.
When babies have digestive distress when they're born, or if they're allergic to their mother's milk.
I think I had a digestive issue, a month ago. I did what you said. I went to Whole Foods and got a couple of coconut kefirs. Helped a lot.
Yeah, very, very helpful. It's something you should do daily.
So, tip of the day?
Drink coconut kefir for heartburn, for any digestive distress, for anything. Go to healthygutgirl.com and learn more about it. And remember, you are more bacteria than you are human. And you know what the stuff your doctor should know is about this episode? Don't be so darn quick to hand out antibiotics. Doc, come on. Get with the program here.
It not only kills the bacteria, but also harms the host.
It's like taking a tractor through the Amazon rainforest and knocking it, and then expecting that that flora and fauna is going to be there in a week.
You know what? That antibiotics does have a place. And look, if all else fails, then absolutely.
Antibiotics saved my life.
And no doubt about it. But listen, if you have a little digestive problem, something's going on, go the health route first. Go make a cultured veggie.
Or a sinus infection. Give it some time.
Exactly.
You know, I'm talking to the docs. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to medical doctors.
Trust Healthy Gut Girl here. She knows what she's talking about.
These are lovable.